We are going through a series called Jesus. Yes. We talk about him once in a while here at the church. So we're going through a series called Jesus, and if you're here for our opening night kickoff thing this fall, we played a whole bunch of clips from different people, from different times, from different positions, from different faiths, all their opinions about Jesus, from Oprah to Chopra. Deepak, you know him? He's a nutbag. Anyway, there's dozens, thousands, millions of opinions about Jesus. Some are educated, some are uneducated. There are contradictory statements about Jesus. Tonight we're going to look, and we're going through a series, because I thought it would be kind of, if we're going to find out who Jesus is, best bet to go to one of his closest friends who actually knew the guy and walked and talked with him and look at what he said. And so we're going through the Gospel of John, and John records statements that Jesus makes about himself. They're called the I am statements. I am light. I am bread of life. I am, okay, the vine. All these things are kind of cryptic in and of themselves, but Jesus is trying to explain who he is to us. And John recorded those things. I'm not going to get in tonight to the historicity of the Gospel of John or any of the Gospels, but there is good, strong, credible evidence, okay, that what we have recorded was what was actually recorded, okay? It takes faith to believe that what was recorded was true. It only takes a brain to realize that it was recorded and that what we have was recorded. Do you understand the difference? Okay? Only weird people who try to get on TV, like Deepak or Richard Dawkins or guys who are trying to stir up controversy and everything else, will deny that Jesus ever existed. Okay. Most scholars, real scholars, historians, ancient literature people would say that there was a man named Jesus who lived and who died, who was crucified under Pilate. Okay. We have extra biblical sources that prove that. We also have better manuscript evidence that what was originally recorded by the followers of Jesus is what you have in your hands tonight. Okay. Better evidence than Homer's Odyssey, okay, which people don't debate whether Homer wrote it, though they should, because we don't really have any evidence, well, very little evidence in comparison, okay? The question comes down to is, do we believe that what Jesus' followers wrote about him? That's a much broader question than tonight. Okay, you might have a ton of questions about Jesus and what's circling around, but I think we need to start where his followers started, which was explaining his teaching and what he said about himself. And then you can make your own decision about who is Jesus. Because at the end of the day, we ask that question, and I think that's a very valid question to ask. I would say it's the most valid question to ask. Because whether you believe that he was who he said he was, which is what this series is looking at, if you're going to go by the evidence that Jesus of Nazareth actually existed and died on a cross, and the evidence that's undeniable, that the movement he started changed the world, that's undeniable. Whether you think it changed the world for better or for worse, it's undeniable that it changed the world. You could go anywhere in the world, show them a cross, and what do they say? Instrument of ancient Roman torture. No, they say Christianity. Well, where did that come from? So for better or for worse, Jesus has changed the world. And so if you were going to get to know anybody as a human being, it's worthwhile getting to know Jesus. Think of all the stupid stats you know about Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie. Okay? You could probably name some of their children. It's weird. Okay, but you ask people about Jesus, he's a good teacher. You know that a guy in Scripture actually went up to Jesus and said, good teacher. Jesus won't play that game. said, why do you call me good? No one's good but God. He was implying something there. But if we can take the time to actually be able to answer stupid questions about pop culture on TMZ or Entertainment Tonight, doesn't it mean a little bit, if you have half a brain and you care at all about being a human being on this planet, to know a little bit about the central, most influential person who has ever walked our planet? You know, in between midterms and lattes. So we're going to go through and we're going to look at that. Now, if you have questions about historicity and those kind of things, here's the deal. We do a tough question series every year, okay, where we write in tough questions. So as small groups and stuff, you can start thinking about, maybe you have specific questions that relate to Jesus. Like, how could Jesus be fully God or fully man? Or did Jesus ever claim to be God? Didn't the church mess with and make him a deity afterwards? Or what about the virgin birth? Or maybe it has to do more with, well, where did the Gospels come from? What kind of manuscripts? You say that people outside of the Gospels claimed that Jesus existed. Where is that evidence? Okay? They're good questions to ask. Here's the deal. At the end of the day, any question about Jesus is a really good question. And so we're going to go through and tackle some of those. And I've got a few of my own, okay? The ones that kind of I wrestle with. And we're going to wrestle with those in the coming thing. But for now, in this series, what I want to look at is what Jesus said about himself, recorded by his friend John. And Jesus said a lot of things about himself. So we're keeping it down to the I ams, okay? So tonight we're in John chapter 8. Last week we looked at John chapter 8 and John chapter 9 because often when Jesus makes an I am statement about himself, he follows it up or it comes right after a demonstration that proves he is who he said he is. So last week when we looked at it, he said, I'm the light of the world. Well, what does that even mean, right? And so we went to John chapter 9 where he actually gives a blind man sight. And just so we don't get confused and think, well, that means Jesus basically is here to open up people's eyes physically. No, he was trying to make a point about opening up people's eyes spiritually, opening them up to the reality of who he is and who they are and how much they need God. And he ended by saying to the Pharisees, since you say that you already know all this about God, about yourselves and everything else, you still don't see. Because their definitions of God and themselves did not include Jesus. Now we're going to go back tonight and look at the end of John chapter 8 to an I am statement, which in my opinion is the most powerful I am statement there is. They all are. But this is the one that I think separates Jesus from any other religious leader that has ever lived, existed, started a movement. This is the one that at the end of the day makes Jesus somebody that you can't ignore. You have to have an opinion. Because Jesus doesn't leave any wiggle room for good teacher or nice guy or dude sported great blue sashes. Okay? He doesn't leave any room for that. He doesn't even leave any room for being a good spiritual guide or the first created person, as some cults teach. He goes right to it. It's actually the thing that got him killed. Tonight we're going to look at Jesus' statement. He says, before Abraham was, I am. No illustrations, no feeding 5,000, no walking on water, but that is a loaded statement, and they wanted to kill him for it, and they didn't then, but they eventually did. We're going to look at what he was trying to say there, unpack it, and why they killed him for saying this. Okay? So if you got your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 8. We're going to pick up in John chapter 8, verse 31. Okay, and there's a few things I want to pick out of here tonight. And we're just going to kind of walk through the story, okay? We're picking up from where we were last week, where he was talking about, I am the light of the world, okay? Just to kind of backfill you if you weren't here last week. Right now, at the time where Jesus is talking, what's going on is he's in Jerusalem and he's at the temple, and the Feast of Tabernacles has just finished, okay? Huge, big event, okay? Think Oktoberfest without Lederhosen. Okay? Bunch of Jews getting together. And when I say bunch, I mean like this is one of the major feasts in Jewish culture. So people would pilgrimage for this event. They would come and they would live in tents and they would have lights everywhere. And then especially at the temple, outside in the temple courts, the treasury courts, they had four giant pillars, like huge bright things that would light up the whole sky. And you could actually see it from out of town. At the end of the ceremony, they'd shut down all the lights and everybody would go home. And it's in this atmosphere that Jesus stands up in the temple courts and says, I am the light of the world. He says, follow me. Follow me to come out of the darkness and into the light, and I will give you the life, or the light of life. I will give you life. Okay? And we unpacked that last week. Now, it says at the end of that, before we jump to John chapter 9, it says, as he was saying these things, in verse 30, many believed in him. Okay? And this is where we're picking it up in verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. We'll just stop right there for a sec, okay? So you got what's going on, all right? There's people who are like, yeah, Jesus, light of the world. Woo! I'll follow you. They believe him, okay? And then John goes, okay, so Jesus got all these people who are like, yeah, we believe. We believe. And he goes to them, the ones who claim to believe. They said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay, what he's saying there, the word for abide there, we don't really use that word very much, at least I don't. Anybody here use the word abide often? No. Okay. He's saying if you remain, if you continue, if you live in. And word there is logos, okay? He's talking about his teaching, about who he is and what he's about. He's saying, look, if you continue to follow in who I am and what I'm about, if you embrace me, if you obey me, if you follow me, if you believe me, if you trust me, then you are really my disciples. They're all like, I believe you. Yeah, Jesus, light of the world. Woo! I'll follow you. That sounds good. That's great. And he's saying, look, if you really believe me, then you will live out what I am telling you. You will believe me, and it'll change your life. You will obey me, and you will follow me, and you will continue in what I'm saying. And he says, the truth of that will set you free. You'll know the truth. Later we're going to get to another I am statement, right? Where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, okay? But right now he's saying, look, if you follow in what I'm saying and who I'm about, he goes, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, what's the response? See the response? Verse 33, they answered him, we're offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Here's the thing about Jesus, just right off the bat, okay? This is why this passage, what we're looking at tonight, leaves no wiggle room. Everybody wants to follow Jesus when it's something that benefits them, right? When it's good. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And they're like, yeah, that sounds good. I can embrace that. That's fun. You lead out of darkness, I get life, that's great. And so Jesus cuts it right down into the chase and he says, look, like you gotta follow me, you gotta actually believe what I'm saying. And here's what I'm saying first. You'll come to know the truth and you'll be set free. And their response isn't, okay. And we have so many people in our culture today who will come to a certain point with Jesus. He's a good teacher. I love his moral teachings. I love the example that he gave and the way he holds little lambs and lets the little children come unto him and those sharp blue eyes. He's just pretty. And oh, and he's just such a nice guy to be around. And Oprah recommends him too. And he just embodied what is just beautiful about humanity. And he's such a great example. That's not what Jesus says, though. Because Jesus says something about them, and their response is, look, like, how can you say we're going to be free? We've never been a slave to anyone. We're Abraham's children. Now you're like, what? I was like that when I read. I'm like, what? That's your response. We're Abraham's children. We've never been a slave to anyone. And I'm thinking, do you guys know your history at all? You right now, you're living under Roman rule, and like, really, recalls that, you know, you're probably the most famous slaves in all history. Remember the Exodus, right? Well, what are they saying here? They know their history. I agree with most commentators that what they're talking about here is they're saying, look, we already have the truth. We're already free in the sense that we're Abraham's kids. We're already God's. We're already in with God. What do you mean free? I'm already in with God. If you don't get anything else, get this tonight. Jesus, in this whole passage, what he's talking about here is saying one main thing, and it starts like this. To be in with God means to be in with Jesus. To be in with God means to be in with Jesus. And I say that because of where he goes next. They're like, we're Abraham's kids. We're in with God. We are free. We're spiritually free. We are cool. Translate that into today, and it's kind of like this. Well, I'm a good person. I was baptized as a baby. Go to a Spanish country. My name's Jesus. My parents are so religious. I got a cross around my neck. I'm even better than the people who are just baptized as babies. I go at Christmas and Easter. And I sponsor a child in Africa. Like, come on. I'm in with God. And Jesus is saying here, nah. To be in with God means to be in with me. And look at where he goes next. He goes, look, you are slaves. He says in verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly. In the Greek there, guess what those words are? We say them all the time when we pray. Amen, amen. Or to pronounce it properly, it's amen, amen. Okay, that's Greek. What's he saying there to translate it into how we would speak today? He's saying this. Listen up. Here's reality. Okay? That's what truly, truly... John is being emphatic here when he writes it that way. When he says, amen, amen, it's like, act tongue, baby. Here we go. Reality check. Here's reality. I'm going to tell you the way things really are. Wake up. He says, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. Now remember, this is in the same chapter about talking about the woman who's caught in adultery. Remember, they're all going to stone her. What does Jesus say to them? The one who has no sin can cast the first stone. Any stones chucked that day? No. Any perfect people in this room? No. So he's saying, look, you think you're in with God. You think you're free and you're in with God because of who your great, 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 great granddaddy is. And he's saying, anybody who commits a sin is a slave to sin. You need to be set free. And right off the bat, Jesus is alienated. How many people? You know, one of Richard Dawkins, one of the funniest arguments that I heard in a debate between him and a guy named John Lewis. And he said that people are genuinely good. Generally good. It's society that makes people evil. See any breakdown in logic there? What's society made of? Good. You guys are smarter than Richard Dawkins, and he's a prof at Oxford. He should stick with science. He's better at that. Okay? Philosophy, not so much his thing. And John Lewis just jumped all over him, right? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. And he's not saying, and neither is the Bible, that people can't do good things. What he's saying is that anybody who's a sin is a slave to sin. You cannot rid yourself of that sin. None of us are perfect all the time. And Jesus is saying, look, if you follow me, if you live out and in what I am saying, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And the first thing that's true is here's the reality. Reality check. You're a sinner. So don't tell me you're in with God. Because God is perfect and God is holy. God is all of the things that we aspire to be and then some. He's so perfect and he's so holy that we can't get close to him. And so Jesus goes on. He says, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Verse 35, he says, a slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. What's he saying there is this. In this culture, at this time, people would be slaves, right? Okay? And not to think that this is like African American slaves, okay? This is slavery, basically, like a lot of people were slaves. Basically, if you were employed, it was a very good chance that to some degree you were a slave. You ever feel like a slave? I worked at a grocery store. Okay? These people were treated well and everything else, but here's the deal. They could not take or partake in the owner's inheritance. They weren't family. And so he's saying, look, you guys are a slave to sin. You're not in with God. Only the Son is in with God. Now, what's he saying there? He's making a play off a cultural thing, right? Because who gets the inheritance? The Son, right? And he's saying, you guys are slaves. Only the Son is in with the Father. Now, if you've been following John up until this point, what does Jesus call himself? The Son. You guys are brilliant tonight. This is awesome. Yeah. Okay? He's the Son. So if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Why? Because Jesus is in with God. If you want to be in with God, you got to be in with Jesus. That's exactly what he's saying. Flat out. And then he says, I know you're the offspring of Abraham. I know that you're descendants from him. Yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. What he's saying there is you don't believe my word. Like when I actually speak, you don't really believe me. Verse 38, he says, I speak of what I've seen with my Father, and you do what you've heard from your Father. Later on again, in verse Where is it? Verse 47. Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. See, here's the thing about being in with God, being in with God means being in with Jesus. It's because Jesus speaks the truth of God. Jesus speaks the truth of God. Twice in this passage, Jesus says, look, if you remain in my word. And what's his word? He speaks what the Father tells him. He's bringing the message of Father God. And he's saying, you've got to be in with me. He speaks the truth of God. More than that, he's saying, you've got to be in with me. You have to abide in my word. You have to follow me. You have to continue with me. You have to believe and trust me. Why? Because you're slaves to sin. And then and later on, he says down in verse 52. Well, he's just repeating it. Sorry. Yeah. If anyone keeps my word, he will never die. Because here's the thing about sin. The Apostle Paul extrapolates this more. He says, the wages of sin is death. What's the paycheck for death or for sin? Death. After all the sin, what do you get? Death. And he's saying, look, I will set you free from your sin. I will set you free from death. But to be in with God means to be in with Jesus, which means that you have to actually believe what Jesus said about who he is and about who we are and about how we need him. And they go on. Look at verse 38. They answered him, Abraham's our father. You notice in verse 38 it says, look, I speak for God and you're saying what you've heard from your father. And they're like, well, Father Abraham's our father. Father Abraham. And many sons, sir. Remember that song? You grew up in church? My goodness, I don't even know what that song's about. Anyways, Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. What did Abraham do? Right. He trusted God. He took God at his word, right? He obeyed God. That's what he's famous for, by the way. That and trying to kill his son. But no, that's another story. That's like, yeah. Okay? Abraham trusted God. He trusted God not just to obey God and follow where God was going to show him. He also believed God that all of the promises that God gave to him would become true. That's where Father Abraham had many sons, because one of the promises, Genesis 12, is that God said that Abraham's going to have dozens of kids, millions of kids, as many as the stars or the sand. And more than that, he said that out of your offspring is going to be a blessing to the whole entire world. But the point here that Jesus is making at this point is he's saying, look, if you were really Abraham's offspring in the way that I'm talking about being Abraham's offspring, then you would reflect what your father did. And he obeyed God. And again, we're back to what Jesus said. Listen to me. Do you see the hints are starting to come? Let's keep going. But now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You're doing the works that your father did. And they said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Now, some commentators think that they're doing a play on words here. Because remember, Jesus was born to a young lady who was a virgin, says her. Right? So some commentators think, look, like, we're not the bastard kid here, Jesus. It's a real word. It's in the dictionary. And I used it properly, okay? That's what they're saying. Look, we weren't born outside of wedlock, buddy. We are kids of Abraham. More than that, we are God's kids. That's what they're saying. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you'd love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me." Again, we go back to this big point. Being in with God is being in with Jesus. "Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word." There's a culture today that kind of goes like this as well when it comes to dealing with Jesus. "Well, we don't really know what he said. Jesus never really claimed to be God. And he wasn't really about, you know, sin and heaven and hell or anything. You know, we really don't know much about him, and it's really confusing and everything else. And you know, really, you know, like, we can't really know, and yada, 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 yada." And I think Jesus hits the nail on the head. Here's the reality. "Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word." What's he saying? He's saying you don't understand because you don't want to understand. Because if you actually claimed you understood, then what would you be saying about me? And what would you be saying about you? And so people keep Jesus at arm's length or more. Why? Because if we let Jesus get too close, and this is why I think it's hilarious that we will spend so much time getting to know celebrities, but we won't spend much time getting to know the person who influenced the world more than anything else, because I think part of it is we're afraid of what we might find. Because if what we find is true, then Jesus doesn't leave us any options either to accept what he says is true or to reject him. And so Jesus says, "Look, you like the reason you don't understand is because you don't want to abide in what I'm saying. You don't want to actually go beyond the belief that you said at the beginning before I started to really talk about what it meant to follow me. You're kind of checking out now. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." Again, what he's saying is, remember, we're talking about offspring and where you come from. And he's saying, look, if you were really Abraham's offspring, then you'd be like Abraham. But he's saying, you're not like Abraham because you would believe me. You're like your father, the devil. Why does he say that? The devil never fathered anybody in the physical sense. Well, he says the devil is a murderer and a liar because that's the nature that he is. Verse 36 says they wanted to kill him. They're acting out of the nature of where they come from because they're sinners. They're apart from God, like all of us without Jesus. And so they're acting out of the nature that they've got. And so they murder and they lie because that's their nature. And the other thing about liars, Bono's got a great lyric. It goes like this. It ain't a secret that a liar won't believe anyone else. And so he goes on, he says, but because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. It's not in their nature to believe the truth. And Jesus talked about this at different places, but God is the one who opens up our eyes. God is the one who gives people to Christ. Allows them to see him for who he really is. We can't do that on our own. That's why he said it's the Son who sets people free. Not me, not you. Him. Which one of you convicts me of sin? What he's saying there, literally in the Greek, is prove me guilty of sin. prove me guilty. Again, he's making a statement about himself, right? Because he's already said to them, anybody who's committed a sin is a slave to sin. He's saying, I'm not a slave. I'm a son. I can set you free. He said, prove me guilty of a sin. And they can't. And he says, if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? What he's saying is, my testimony is true. I'm a good witness. I'm not a liar. I'm not a murderer. What I tell you is true. You can't pin anything on me to make it so that you wouldn't believe me. You don't have a good case. Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. And the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying you are a Samaritan and have a demon? They know he's not a Samaritan. They're lying. Because here's the reality. No Jew would ever say that to another Jew. You aren't really the children of Abraham. He's saying, you must be a Samaritan. Like, Samaritan are like the backwoods people. Okay? I could pick on a whole bunch of locations, but I won't right now. It would be really funny. We'll do it another day. Okay? I was thinking of examples for Samaria today. The point is, it's like, you people are from the... You must be from the other side of the tracks. You are not a good Jew, Jesus. You're saying that, are we not right in saying you're a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered him, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. He's linking himself really close, eh? Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it and he is the judge. And then he says again, I'm going to tell you reality. Reality check. I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Wait, what they're saying there is, you're crazy. Now we know you're crazy. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets that died? Who do you make yourself out to be? He's saying, look, if you follow me, remember, remain in my word, continue in my word. He's saying, if you follow me, you will never die. And they're going, that's insane. Abraham died. Obeying God didn't keep Abraham from dying. And the prophets, they spoke the word of God, like you're claiming to do, and they died. You must be crazy. And then he says, are you saying that you're better, greater than they are? Who do you think you are? That's what they're saying. Who do you make yourself out to be? Who are you presenting yourself to be here, Jesus? Let's cut all the chit-chat and illusions out. What are you saying about who you are? Jesus answered, verse 54, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. So here's the second thing about being in with God. It means being in with Jesus. Is not only does Jesus speak the truth of God, but Jesus also represents and knows God. Do you notice all the allusions that he makes out here? He says, look, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I'm here, not of my own accord, but he sent me. Verse 42. And then down here, you don't hear the, whoever is of God hears the words of God. And then further down again, he says, I honor my Father, you dishonor me. I don't seek my own glory, there is one who seeks it. He's saying, God is after seeing me glorified. He's the judge. And then verse 54, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me. 55, you don't know him. I know him. If I were to say I didn't know him, I'd be lying. But I do know him and I keep his word. So he's saying, I live the life that God has called to be lived. He's saying he's perfect. He's free from sin. He's not a slave. He's a son. He's in with God. He represents God. He knows God. To be in with God is to be in with Jesus. And then even more so, verse 56, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. You notice what he's done here? He's actually transitioned over and he said, your father Abraham. He's actually putting distance between himself and the people. He's been doing this all along, but now it really comes out. And he says, your father saw my day and rejoiced and was glad. Now, here's the deal, okay? Rabbis had been writing for centuries about Abraham and the blessing that God had given him. And that's why they said we're offspring of Abraham, right? Because the blessings were to come to Abraham's people, but they were then to be a blessing to the whole entire world. And so the Jews and the prophets of the Old Testament, they were looking forward to this day, the day when the Messiah would come and all the blessings that were promised to Abraham would come true in their fullest sense. The day of the Lord. Do you notice that Jesus doesn't say, your father Abraham was looking forward to the day. What does he say? One tiny little word that changes everything. Your father was looking forward to the day. No, what does it say? My day. He was looking forward to my day. Whose day is it from the Old Testament? The day of the Lord. And rejoiced and was glad. And now the Jews are getting really riled up here. Okay? Because Jesus is like, he's pushing all the buttons now. And the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? They don't believe him, by the way, okay? It's not like little kids go, really? Okay? They're saying, look, you're not even 50. You haven't seen Abraham. And Jesus said to them, reality check. Here's reality. Amen, amen, truly, truly, here it is. I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And so they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Before Abraham was, I am. Here's the last thing. This is the finish of the sentence. You can cross out the two middle points and come just to this one. Being in with God means being in with Jesus, because at the end of the day, Jesus is God. He's been hinting at it all the way along, and here he says it. And you're like, well, no, he doesn't really say it. He says, before Abraham was, I am. You've got to understand what's going on here. He is saying he is God. He's hinted at it, he's alluded at it, and now he said it. And that's why they pick up stones to kill him. Matthew 26 records that they killed him, they sentenced him to death for blasphemy. Blasphemy is claiming to be God. He was saying he was God. John 5:18 says that they were upset because he was making himself equal with God. John 10, verse 33, he has another exchange. And there again, it says they wanted to kill him because he was saying he was God. And here he says, before Abraham was, I am. Follow what's happening here. They say, are you greater than Abraham? Who do you think you are? And he goes, before Abraham, I am. That's who I think I am. Now the word for I am there is one that's in front of all of these I am statements. It's double emphatic. It is two words. It's I am. Ego, a me. He is saying, I am. There's nothing after it. There's not I am the light or any of those kind of things. It's just I am. Which is what God revealed his personal name to be to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Moses said to them, well, who should I say sent me? When he's supposed to go to Pharaoh to get God's people set free. And he says, tell them that I am sent you. And Jesus is going back to that and he's saying, before Abraham was, I am. If it was just like some cults teach, if he was just saying that he existed before God did, then he would have said, before Abraham was, I was. But he doesn't. He says, before Abraham was, I am. They knew exactly what he was saying. He's saying, not only do I speak for God, not only do I know and represent God, I am God. Now in your head, 50 billion questions are probably going off. Like, I thought the Father was God. Jesus has been talking about coming from the Father, and now he's God. I thought he was the Son of God. And I think we should probably address the Trinity in our tough questions. Good idea? Okay. For tonight, I just want you to get this. Jesus is God. In your small groups tonight, you'll look at other verses from the New Testament where it is said emphatically that Jesus is God. The followers of Jesus, those who knew him before he died and after, knew what he was saying about himself, that he is God. You see, at the end of the day, this is what separates who Jesus really is and all the different opinions about him. Because at the end of the day, nobody wants to go here with Jesus. But this is where Jesus goes. This is why C.S. Lewis says that, like, you can't just dismiss him. You can't say he's a good teacher. He claimed to be God. If you went into your class tomorrow, this would never happen at Ottawa U, but it could happen at Carleton. And one of your profs stood up and said, by the way, I'm God. Good teacher, not so good teacher. Depends. If they're teaching hydroponics, then maybe, okay? But here's the deal. It just doesn't make any sense. And this is why people will only get so close to Jesus. But notice what Jesus says. If you want to be set free, if you want to never taste death, and what he's talking about is not physical death. We will all die. But Matthew 6 says that even though we die, we will live. If we follow him, if we abide in his word, if we trust him as who he says he is. And he says he's God, that he is sinless. And that he came from the Father to share about who he is and who we are and to rescue us from that, to get us in with God. Being in with God is being in with Jesus because Jesus speaks the truth of God. He knows and represents God, and because he is God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what Jesus claims about himself. Now, you can believe that or not believe that, but don't tell me he didn't say that about himself. And I think there's really, really good evidence that he is exactly who he claimed to be. So much so that his followers, those who knew him, would die before saying it didn't happen, it wasn't true. The most awesome evidence is that he rose from the dead. Investigate it. Find out who this Jesus is, who he claimed to be, and what evidence there is that it's true. He's changed my life and he's changed a lot of your lives. I know that.
is a guy who walked the earth 2,000 years ago. If you want to be in with God, it means being in with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your word. And I want to thank you for your honesty and just saying things like they are. I want to thank you for coming to earth, for dying on the cross for our sins, rising again victorious, and inviting us to follow you, to be found in you, to be set free from our sin and from spiritual death, from total separation from God forever. I want to thank you for setting us free. So, Lord, tonight I just pray, no matter where any of us are at with wrestling with you, that you would spur us on to ask the hard questions, to not settle with pat answers, but to really search and find out who you are, and that you would open our eyes, that we would hear the words of God because you had moved in our hearts. And so I just pray that. Give us courage. Help us be honest with ourselves and with you. So thank you. We commit our time to you the rest of the evening, and we commit our journey to you as we wrestle with this and what it means to really follow you and to live in your word and to be set free and to embrace who you are in your holy and precious name, we pray. Amen.